Welcome to Victory Christian Center of Rancho Mirage, California. We are a house of mercy and a church for the harvest, shaking the desert with the power and the love of God, taking Jesus to the world from the Coachella Valley. We pray that the word that you are about to listen to will increase and strengthen your faith. Enjoy today's message. Victorious, the land victorious, over sin, over death, over wrong, over us. Victorious, the land victorious.
My Bible, and this is God speaking to me. I am who the Bible says I am. I have what God's word says I have. And let's really be strong on this one. And I can do what the scriptures say I can do. All right, turn with me to 1 John, the first epistle of John toward the back of your Bible. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. And I want to talk to you about warfare prayer. And we talked about worship as a weapon last month. But I think it is important for us to think about prayer, and when we have this circumstances that we have in the world today, that we step up and be bold and confident in our prayer life. Let me encourage you to come to the realization that prayer is not just reporting to God what the devil is doing. Lord, here I am, and the devil's bad, and the devil's mean, and it's tough, and life is bad, and had this report and that report. Well, he's very aware of all that, and that is not sufficient. Just to tell God what the enemy is doing is not sufficient for the prayer life of the believer in this hour. We must be bold, and we must be confident, and we must be filled with faith in our prayer life. Thank you for... We can go now. I mean, I could go get a little croissant or something. If you want to go, is everyone here? Okay. 1 John 4:4. This is a great passage. In fact, I'm going to read beginning at verse 1. Beloved, don't believe all the spirits, but try the spirits whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby we know the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. But verse 4, but you are of God, little children. You are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. I want us to say that together and make it personal. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Let's say that together. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Pastor Perry Ford, who pastors the church in 29 Palm Spirit and Truth Worship Center, posted on Facebook yesterday 4 points from Rick Warren, 4 things to do in spiritual warfare. And I just want to give those to you real quickly and sort of use them as a part of my message. But the first thing is that we must acknowledge the adversary. You know, if you don't realize that we have an enemy that is working against us in every way, working against us spiritually, trying to rob us of our faith and our hope and our expectation, trying to rob us physically, trying to rob us financially, trying to rob us physically in our soulish realm and in our thinking and in our emotions and our intellect and so on. If you're not aware of that, it is time to wake up and smell the Starbucks. Amen. Acknowledging the adversary. First Peter. Peter says, "Hey, you have an adversary. Be sober. Be vigilant. We have an adversary who's roaming around, seeking whom he may devour." And if we're not willing to define and to discern and to acknowledge the enemy, we will not fight effectively. Thank you, Norbert. Could you move your chair up closer? Because I need some help up in here. Jesus made it really clear. Jesus, I love the simplicity of the ministry of Jesus. I really relate with that. And I'm grateful to have a good education, but I really want to boil the truth of the word down into simple terms and telling stories about fishermen and farmers and look at the birds and look at the lilies of the field. And Jesus just kept it so simple. So I'm going to try and keep it simple like he did. Jesus said, hey, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that you might have life abundantly. Amen. And what's interesting to me is see that how religious people create such a convoluted understanding of this very simple reality that God is good and the devil is bad. And they confuse that by saying things like, well, the Lord caused it. He wanted that to happen. He allowed it to happen. He permitted it to happen. Or all kinds of things they come up with about how God is a participant. But the Bible is really clear. He says, when you're tempted, let no one say, I'm tempted of God. So when tough times come, if anyone says to you, well, the Lord caused this to happen, just in all the love you can muster, just slap their face. Say, do not say that. Don't say that. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God.
That's right.
And so it's important for us to really understand that we have a God that loves us. He loves us so much that he was willing to send his only begotten son to die and to suffer and to bleed on our behalf so that he can have connection with us because he thought we were so good and wonderful and precious and valuable, not based on our own performance, but because we're his creation. Amen. He loves us like that. Now is it too cold? Now, is it too cold? Let's see, go like this. Too cold now? We're good? Okay. Do we have any blankets left from the... keep some on hand. So we have a good God. Jesus asked this question. He said, hey, I like the simplicity of Jesus. I don't know if I mentioned that. Jesus said, if you being natural parents know how to give good gifts to your children, if your child came and said, I'd like some bread, would you give them a stone? Jesus asked these questions. Well, no. If they asked for an egg, would you give them a scorpion? Well, no. Well, Jesus said, then if you being natural parents know how to give good things to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give good things to them that ask him? So we have to get, if we're going to have an effective prayer life, it is so important to have a real clear understanding that when we're praying, we can pray in full confidence that God wants to bless, that God wants to heal and to deliver. Now, do things happen that we don't understand or do the situations not resolve themselves that we thought maybe they would? Absolutely they do. However, we cannot shrink back or start with our natural understanding, try to comprehend what happened or didn't happen. And I understand that disappointments come in life and prayer disappointments may come. Are you with me? So I don't mean to act like that's not a reality in our world, but it can't cause us to adjust our faith and our expectation, which is based on the word, not based on our experience. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, not by someone else's. Well, Sister Sue was the greatest saint in the world and prayed 50 hours a week, and she died. Well, we're all going to die sometime. But I mean, we can't base our faith on Sister Sue. Are you with me? All right. So, identify and acknowledging the adversary. Number two, we must accept our God-given authority. We must accept our God-given authority as believers. Matthew 28, Jesus said, all power in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth, all power in heaven and earth is given to me. So now you go, therefore. Amen. He deputized us. I used this illustration before, but in Riverside County, we have one sheriff. He is elected by the people, thus having the most significant law enforcement power in any county, in the state of California at least. That's how it works. Because other law enforcement persons are not elected by the people. A chief of police, for instance, is hired by the city council, but not directly elected by the people. We directly elect our sheriff. His name is Stan Sniff. He's a good man. And Sheriff Sniff, though, has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deputies. He's the sheriff. There's only one sheriff. But he lends his authority to those who work with him to enforce the law in this county. And they function in the full authority of the sheriff as a deputy sheriff because they align themselves with that authority and enforce the laws of our state and nation. So you are deputized. There's only one Jesus. And he said this. Jesus said, hey, all power in heaven and earth is given to me, but I'm deputizing you to go into all the world and help and heal a hurting people. So John 10:10, which I love that, don't you? Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come that you might have life. We can claim that for us. Norbert, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy, but I, Jeff Walker, am come to help you, to heal you, to bless you, to encourage you, to strengthen you. Amen. I'm come that you might have abundant life. Not in and of myself, but because I'm a deputy. So whatever Jesus is supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be doing. So when you come on the scene at work, you should have that boldness, confidence, and expectation. Things are going to change around here because I came to work today.
Amen. Yes, yes.
At your family reunion, if you're able to show up, I am here because God lives and dwells in me, and I'm here to be light in this. And how many of you in your family, there's, you know, we all have the crazy, crazy aunt. And how many of you, some of you are the crazy aunt, I know that much. We must accept our God-given authority. You know, there are three kinds of people in the world. Those who make things happen, those who watch things happen, and those who wonder what happened. And we are among those who are called to make things happen. By the authority of Jesus, we're called to make things happen. Bill Hanley, my wonderful friend, my hero, who's now cheering us on from heaven, once told me, he said, you know, the three kinds of people in the world, Pastor Jeff, those who can count and those who cannot. And some of you get it later. That's funny right there. So Jesus has given us authority, and we are to carry on his ministry. He told us when he, in Matthew 9, he said, look at the harvest. He was surrounded by a multitude of people who loved the Lord and followed his ministry and were experiencing his healing power. But Jesus looked off into the distance and saw the multitude, and he was moved with compassion toward them because they were wandering aimlessly through life, hopeless and helpless. And Jesus said, they're like sheep having no shepherd. And he was moved with compassion toward them. And then he said, you know, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. So we have a three-point mission from Jesus. Number one, we move outward from the church. We come together to be built up and to experience and encounter God and to encourage one another. But we must move outward from here. John Osteen once said, I'm going to put a big sign over my exit doors. He said, gone to the mission field, gone to the world. Amen. And once we leave this building, we then become ambassadors for heaven into the four corners of this valley among all kinds of people who have absolutely no intention of being here at Victory Christian Center next week or for Christmas or for Easter or for anything else. They have no plans to do that. But your influence for the kingdom, not just for Victory, but I mean your influence will cause a difference in their life, as it should be. So we must accept our God-given authority. We move outward, we initiate contact, and we bring blessing. I know a couple of weeks ago, Lula here? She taught on the woman at the well, right? You taught on the woman at the well? I love the woman at the well, Lula. I love that because it's such a miracle encounter of Jesus. He engaged her in simple conversation. A comfortable dialogue began to ensue. And he pressed into her world. And of course, she began to throw up those religious responses to Jesus. But he ministered to her and changed her life forever just by a brief encounter at the water cooler, so to speak. And it is so important for us to know that we are to bless people where we meet them. So we move outward from here. We initiate contact with people. And then we bring blessing to them as best we can in a given situation. The third thing Rick Warren talked about was putting on the armor of God. And I'll just have you look at that in Ephesians chapter 6. When I was 18 years old, God called me to the ministry. I didn't want to be a minister, had no plans of being a minister. I wanted to be a banker. God, don't bother me with this. I don't want to be a preacher. And the Lord, oh well, here I am. So I'm going to tell you the rest of the story. But my first message, I worked in a bank. And so one of the other tellers, her name was Gloria Chastain, and she was the drive-up teller. And so she, you know, announced to the bank that I was going to be leaving and going to Bible college. And from then on, they all called me Oral. Okay, Oral, like Oral Roberts. Okay, Oral. And so Gloria was on the board of her church, and they were between pastors in Allenville, Illinois. I think it's a population of about 600 people, Allenville. A lot of little small towns where I grew up in that farm country of Illinois, little farm towns. And Allenville was a little farm community, and they had a Christian church, Allenville Christian Church, which is a denomination kind of bigger out in the Midwest there. And she was on the board, and so she said, oh, this young man in where I work is going to be going to prepare for ministry. We should have him preach on a Sunday. So my very first sermon was at Allenville Christian Church in Allenville, Illinois, and I preached on the armor of God. And I'm sure it was good. But putting on the armor of God and being in spiritual uniform. There's something about being in uniform. I was picking up a honey-baked ham for Thanksgiving, and two women came in uniform. They were Navy. And so I thought, well, I'm going to buy their ham. And so I stepped up and I said, I'd like to buy, quietly to the clerk, I said, I'd like to buy their ham. I didn't realize they had two hams and a turkey. $205 later, it's true. Ooh, yeah, praise the Lord. I'm blessed to be a blessing. Amen. I'm blessed to be a blessing. So because they were in uniform, I wanted to honor them for their service. And so I thought I was going to buy them a little ham. And I bought for the whole family reunion, evidently. So. But what drew my attention to them was their being in uniform. And I think it is important for us to have on our spiritual uniform because it makes us more aware of how we conduct ourselves and what we're a part of and the incredible kingdom in which we are participants. And so it causes us to have that confidence and that boldness because I've got the kingdom of God behind me, just like those two young ladies had the United States of America behind them and their service to our nation. We have the kingdom of God behind. And when we're putting on the breastplate of righteousness and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and loins girded about with truth and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and all of those things, it just makes us more mindful that, hey, I've got authority. Authority, and I'm going to use my authority to be a blessing. Oh, I've got to hurry. Good night. This is good, though. I can't wait. And then number four, Rick Warren says we have to aim the artillery. Now, I want to look at a couple of prayers, examples of prayer in the book of Acts and the book of Ephesians. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts chapter 4. And the last few weeks we talked about Jehoshaphat last month in 2 Chronicles, in the Old Testament, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and how several nations had come against Jehoshaphat, And it says his first response was he was afraid. He feared. But he set himself to seek the Lord, and he declared a fast throughout all of Judah. And all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, Judah and Samaria, Judah came together and to ask help from the Lord. And here's what they began to pray. And we won't go back there because we just talked about it last month. They began to magnify God. And they began to say, aren't you the God of, you know, all the nations of the earth? Don't you have all the power? Are you not a great and a mighty God? Are you not our God? And don't you have covenant with us? And haven't you told us in your word that if we're in trouble, that we can come into this house, for your presence is in this house, and we can cry out, and you will hear us, and you will help us? And they began to pray out the solution. They didn't focus only on, they did mention that, hey, we're in trouble here, but the focus of their prayer and their declaration and of their coming together was not to report the problems. Come on, this is good. A lot of prayer is problem reporting. And that way it may be a small part of prayer, but the big part of prayer is asserting our authority based on the Word of God, based on the nature of our Heavenly Father, based on His covenant with us and His promises. That's the most significant part of praying. So if your prayer life is, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh, God, you're not there yet. We have to move into, oh, God, you're the God of all the nations of the earth. Aim the artillery. So Jehoshaphat led people in a powerful prayer, which led to a word from heaven. And Dennis Silva did a great job talking about this a little bit yesterday, how we need to have a word from heaven, not just our own reasoning, our own comprehension. Proverbs 3 says we don't rely on our own understanding, but we must acknowledge Him and He'll direct our path. And what they were looking for from heaven here was a word from the throne of God for that people, for that moment, for that situation, for that specific circumstance. And they got a word. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. Sometimes we do, don't we? This is God's battle, but you're going to sing and praise, and you're going to watch God's salvation, and gave them a good report, and they acted on that. So important for us to have a word from heaven. So important for our president to have a word from heaven. So important for our governor to have a word from heaven. And not just trying with their own thinking or their own maybe natural response to something, try and sort it out with their own wisdom. We need to have a word from heaven. And I think as a nation, if my people who are called by my name will pray, I think if the church will lift up their voice like a trumpet and begin to pray for our leaders, that God can move in ways we never dreamed possible. Amen. Acts chapter 4. Look at this now. In Acts chapter 4, Peter and John, they healed the man lame from his mother's womb. You know that all that story we've just been talking about that. I mean, and so they were beat up, Peter and John. Verse 23, being let go, they went to their own company. It's important to have a good company of believers. It's important to have a good church that doesn't, the prayer life of the church doesn't consist of woe is me. They went to their own company and they reported everything that had been said. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. And they said, Lord, here, listen, this is just sounds like Jehoshaphat. They lifted up their voice and said, Lord, your God, which has made heaven and the earth and the sea and all that in them is, they're magnifying the Lord. Are you here? Yeah. This is important. I'm talking about your life may depend on what I'm talking about here today. Seriously, this is a life. This is the real issues of life, because we have an adversary who wants to snuff us out in some way. And if we don't know how to respond in prayer, in bold, confident, faith-filled prayer, we are open prey. And so they went to their own company. So good to have corporate prayer and prayer tomorrow night at 6:30 and tomorrow night at 7:30 and Wednesdays at soaking service and all that goes on. And we're believing for prayer every day of the week. Just prayer, all the prayer 24 hours a day if we could. We want to be a house of prayer. So they went to their own company. And the whole church started wringing their hands, saying, oh, no, no. They lifted up their voice. They went to their own company and reported everything that had been said. They commanded them not to teach or preach in the name of Jesus. They said, shut your mouth and stop it. And their own church, when they heard those things, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord. And they said, Lord, your God, which has made heaven and earth and all that in them is, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? A quote from Psalm 2. The king of the earth, the kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ, for of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and counsel determined before to be done. Verse 29, listen closely now. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Behold their threatenings, so they acknowledge the issue. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. They were assembled together there, and they were filled afresh and anew with the Holy Ghost and spoke the word of God with boldness. So when the enemy comes against us and tries to threaten us or intimidate us, we can't shrink back. We have to stand up and step forward and say, God, you're the God, the all-sufficient God of the universe, creator of heavens and the earth and the sea and all that in them is. And behold these threatenings, but grant unto your people boldness. That's warfare prayer right there. Amen. Responding to the intimidation of the demonic, evil, defeated foe of our lives. In Ephesians chapter 1, I'm not going to read this. I'm going to want you to take, if you're a note taker, take these notes though. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Ephesian prayer and how we can pray for one another. We can pray for the body of Christ. Faith-filled words. We pray and we say and we declare according to God's heart, according to God's purpose, according to God's word, according to God's covenant with us. In Mark 11, verses 22 and 23 and 24, Jesus taught his disciples about praying. Have faith in God. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe you receive them. Verily I say unto you that whoever says unto this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he will have whatever he saith. So Jesus combines there praying and saying. He says, pray and say. Say to the mountain, if you believe what you say. Praying and saying. And part of our prayer life is not only to commit things to God and to remind him of his covenant with us, and to remind him of his awesomeness and his greatness, and to declare the solution. Lord, grant unto your servants boldness. See, they're praying the solution. They're praying out the resolution of the threat. Grant unto your servants boldness. So Jesus taught us not only to pray, but then to say in accordance with our faith. When you pray, believe you receive and you'll have. Say to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt that those things that you say will come to pass, you will have whatever you say. That's what Jesus said. Those were his words. A lot of people think Fred Price or Kenneth Hagin wrote that, but they didn't. It's Jesus. Jesus said that. So I charge you in the name of Jesus to be a bold prayer and just rise up and do not let the enemy intimidate you or cause fear to be struck in your heart and mind. That fear is so paralyzing. But we as the body of Christ, we as a church family are going to rise up bold and strong in our community And we're going to see dozens and dozens and dozens of people saved every week, every month, every service, dozens of people. I see it by my eye of faith. Are we experiencing it? No, but I'm going to say it. Because I've prayed about it. I certainly know that it is in line with God's will. And the scripture says if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And this is the confidence that we have. If he hears us, that we have the petitions that we desire of him. So I am totally, Pastor Jeff, you've been saying this for months and months. And we see, well, last week we had several receive the Lord. And the week before that, I think we had three people receive the Lord. But I'm believing for dozens in every service. I don't see it yet with my natural eye, but I've already seen it with my eye of faith. In the kingdom of God, vision is what you see when your eyes are closed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I see it. I see him full, this altar full of people receiving Jesus. Some of them laughing, some of them weeping in brokenness, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. I see him down in the pool, down the street, getting baptized. Lord, let us have to have baptism services every day. Check on that too. New believer classes, discipleship classes. I see it when I close my eyes. Are you with me? All right. Let me quit. I don't have a conclusion. I'll just say I'm done for now. I commission you. I challenge you. I charge you in the name of Jesus. I implore you. I provoke you to love and good works. I provoke you to be a prayer. And to lift up your voice in bold confidence like a trumpet and pray his word and pray his will and pray his nature and pray the solution. And while you might have to mention the issue or the problem or the need, that's not the big part. The big part is magnifying him and claiming his word and boldly declaring and decreeing and speaking who and what God is and how he will bring hope in the midst of the mess.
Thank you for tuning in today. We would love to see and to meet you at one of our weekend services. We are located at 34500 Bob Hope Drive in Rancho Mirage, California. Our services are on Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. Please check out our website for more information at www.victorychristian.org. And for the most up-to-date, exciting events that are taking place at Victory. We pray that you would prosper in every way and be in health just as your soul prospers. You are victorious.